With the fortitude of the Virgin Mary. No virtue is sustained in us for a long time without fortitude. So, prudence, for example, is a light, is a guide for virtues. But fortitude is the sustain, what sustains, what helps all other virtues. It's the support, on the basis, the strength of all virtues is fortitude. So, just remembering, all our life on earth is a fight against the enemies of the soul and against the obstacles to virtue. We have to overcome them. Sometimes we have to attack, confront them, the enemies. But more often, we have to resist with energy their attacks of them towards us. No? St. Thomas says it's more difficult to resist than to attack. To bear the cross is more difficult than to defeat the enemy. So it's a double aspect of fortitude. Fortitude is a virtue to attack the enemies and the obstacles, but mainly to resist the attacks of the enemy. And for a long time, for our death, no? So the Blessed Virgin Mary, she had a martyrdom all her life, especially the foot of the cross. So Father Rodriguez speaks about the fortitude of Mary. He said, let's remember, he says, the doubts of Saint Joseph. She remained with an admirable fortitude with her silence. Because what a humiliation and a difficult test for a wife who was virgin to keep that secret to Saint Joseph. The trip to Bethlehem in the midst of contradictions, in uncomfortable situations. Bothersome situations, privations, needs, poverty, the cave, all the circumstances around the birth of our Lord. So give us a glimpse of the fortitude of Mary. The circumcision, for example, seeing the child Jesus 8 days old, shedding blood. And there is a famous revelation to the life of Saint Joseph, Mother Cecilia Baggi, Benedictine, that the very night when our Lord was born in Bethlehem, Saint Joseph was very worried because the child Jesus was no cover. He was trembling, the child Jesus, with the cold weather. Winter in Bethlehem at midnight is zero, more or less 0 degrees, a little lower than 0 degrees. No? Child Jesus, a baby, trembling in cold. So Saint Joseph, according to this private revelation, told Our Lady, we had to cover the child, he's trembling. And Our Lady says, yeah, I know, but he doesn't want me to cover him up. Mm-hmm. Our Lord answered to Our Lady, no, I want to start suffering. For example, Father Rodriguez said, and the presentation of the charges in the temple, Simeon the prophet, may her life bitter for the rest of her life by the prophecy. Imagine, he's only a child, 40 days old, and the presentation in the temple. And Simeon is telling her, a sword is going to pierce through your heart. So when you are telling me that you are worried about your future after the retreat, no, it's normal. A sword has to pierce your heart and your body and the nails, your hands. Yes, it's normal, but that is not the problem. The problem is you have to practice virtues. You have to sustain the penance and the prayers and the humility and obedience. It's obvious you will be persecuted, you will have nails and many things to suffer. It's normal. It's part of the plan of God. In fact, the saints said that we will have temptations and fights 1 minute after death, even 1 minute after death. Means always we have fights. So it's something that the monastic Benedictine fathers told us. The problem is not a cross you have. The main problem that you have to focus is how to carry that cross. The cross is not the problem. The problem is how we carry it. So it's our fault that we don't carry it as we should. You notice we always blame the cross. Look how is my brother, look how is my wife, look how is my neighbor, look how is the Pope. So we blame the cross for what we suffer. It's wrong. Because divine providence has a cross for us. So instead of doing that, wasting time, complaining about the cross, we should focus upon how improve my fidelity to the cross and how carry the cross. More virtues, more patience, more prayer, more humility, more fidelity, more fraternal charity. That is the focus. That is the focus. Well, the church just was lost in the temple also. Tremendous anguish in her heart. She experienced what is to lose God for a few days, no? So she didn't know what happening, but the reality was he lost the child used 3 days. She didn't know what happened or what was happening in that moment. But she knew that she was the responsible, no, of the child Jesus. And maybe he already died. She could have thought that even. Oh, maybe he was crucified already. Well, especially at the foot of the cross. Many things we could say about that. We'll find a reading for lunch about that, I think. Because she drank all the chalice of the pain of our Lord until the last drop. The very bitter chalice. So this is why it's very good to think about Our Lady Immaculate Heart as an altar of sacrifice. She's like the altar of sacrifice. That our Lord never went down from her arms, from her heart. And finally, he was born in the heart of Mary, and he died on the heart of Mary. This is why I told you, our little solitude is kneeling on the altar when our Lord dies. by saying, I was carrying, I received our Lord in my heart, and now I am alone in solitude, suffering this pain, this cross, this absence, alone. In fact, this is the introit of the feast of the Seven Sorrows. He said, behold my sorrows, if there is sorrows like my sorrows, you who pass by and see my sorrows, and there is no one to console me, no one to say a word of consolation to me. Eh? Mm-hmm. Everything is the most fruitful. The meditation on the Passion and Death of our Lord and our Lady's Seven Sorrows and Solitude. Now, some words about the temperance. So temperance is a virtue which moderates our inclination to sensual pleasures, especially those of the tact and the taste, containing them inside the limits of right reason, enlightened by the faith. So virtues which depend upon temperance are abstinence, sobriety, chastity, meekness, clemency, modesty, humility. All of them depend upon temperance. So they said, in Nazareth we can contemplate Our Lady using as a main condiment poverty and frugality, with a great love, preparing everything, serving everything, Our Lord and Saint Joseph. Everything clean but poor. Contemplate how they will eat their lunch together, huh? How much modesty and humility and sobriety. The postures, the attitude, the models. The contemplation even during meals. It's a question Benedict was reading, spiritual readings during the meals. Because Benedict says we want to elevate a spiritual reality the animal necessity of eating, because to eat is an animal need of the body, like the animals, we need an animal activity. So we need to rise up that activity of very human activity to a spiritual one. And he said, why? Because we should not be thinking about food during the meal. How tasty, how much I can give, how much it should be, or how much is the food. So just, they serve you eat what they serve you, that's it. This is the Semenics. In fact, he's merciful because Semenics says, okay, in the rule of Semenics, you are offered three kinds of dishes. And you can take two of the three. Or the three, you want the three or only two. So you can refuse one of the three, not to eat it. That's it, so simple, but this is the rule of Benedict. You offer three courses, that's it. Everybody eats two of them, or three, that's it. You don't ask for something else, or special diets, no? That never existed before. You would have to have a low sugar, low fat, of course, you don't have meat, but for Saint Benedict, and for Saint Benedict, was meatless only for four-footed animals. Later on, in the Middle Ages, was added chicken and birds. But for Saint Benedict, allow in his monastery chicken, no? For example, at the beginning. It's another merciful character of Saint Benedict. He is very balanced. For example, our founder, Father Muart, when the Sacred Heart of Jesus revealed to him the foundation of our congregation. So he went to see Pius IX for approval. So Father Minard said, okay, my idea is that we monks, in our congregation, we will not have pillows. Mm-hmm. And Father Minard said, no, I will not approve that. Sorry, I don't approve it. Your monks have to have pillows because they need to sleep well. Sorry. So contradicted. Father Minard contradicted Father Minard. Okay. So Father Minard said, okay, but also my rule that I want you to approve is meatless, no chicken even, no milk, no butter, no cream, nothing from the cow at all. Mm. And Pius IX said, no, I don't approve that. No, sorry. No. You need eggs. He said, no even eggs. He said, and Pius IX said, no, I don't approve that. Sorry, no. Your monks need some kind of protein, and this is very use. It's not too expensive, and sorry. They must eat milk and cheese and eggs. Yes, so I don't approve that. He says, you see the balance, or sea, the obedience. Mm. Of course, he has good intentions for the Mirar because he was very austere. But obedience is the last thing that you have to pay attention. No? So now some words about purity, about poverty. So you have to know that a spirit of poverty doesn't mean not to possess things. No, it's not the meaning of poverty. You might possess things, even houses, or many cars, or properties, or money. So the spirit of poverty is to have that be detached. Your heart be detached from them. So you're ready to surrender, to share it, to give it up for whatever reason. And precisely because it's very difficult to be detached from something that you own, this is why in practice it's better to make the vow. For this is why the religious we made the vow of poverty, no? To be detached by force, by no violence of ourselves. You don't possess. This is why it's part of the perfection to make vows of poverty. So we own things, but as a community. This is why in the monastery we say our house, our bed, our habit. We don't say mine, forbidden. It's not yours. My shoes, no, it's not your shoes. Sorry, it's our shoes. Mm. The only exception is when you say my mom. Yes, your mom.
Everything gold, man.
Yes, so no, people say, this is why if you are offered something at the meal, if you don't take it at that moment, it's not yours anymore after meal, no? It's not yours. You cannot separate something for you. You cannot, this is forbidden in the monastery. Imagine I give a chocolate to each one of you. So, no, for later. Sorry. If you don't need it at the meal, we split your chocolate in six pieces for the later. Epic of poverty. You don't possess nothing. You even, not even a chocolate after meal. No. It's, you only possess what they are given to you at the meal. It's what we don't eat during meals in the monasteries. I only the cook to test, to taste. But hey, nobody sees me now. Nobody sees me now. In a monastery, usually someone we will supervise. You know your bed and your. Inside the pillow, inside the mattress. So this is poverty. So it's easier not to attach when we don't have them than to detach when we have them, yes. It's a good habit to share. Try to share when you have. It's why it's excellent to have many children at home. You are able to share everything. It's one of the bad effects of having few children, only one or two children at home. They think that they've given everything to a child, they fulfill their duty. Uy, no. No. So San Alfonso's about poverty of marriage, he said the following. Saint Paul, he quotes Saint Paul. Our Lord, being rich, he became poor for us, so that through his poverty we may become rich. Saint Paul, 2 Corinthians. You know, it's very deep. The more you renounce to yourself, the more you fill up with blessing the others. The more you embrace the cross, the more you bless the others with your attitude to our Lord. So the more you give, the more you receive. You see? Again, the same concept of love. We go to Mass to give ourselves in order to receive many blessings. If you wish to be perfect, our Lord said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and after you come back and follow me. When St. Athanasius wrote the life of St. Anthony of the Desert, he said that St. Anthony was hearing the sermon, He entered the church when the priest was preaching or reading these words of our Lord. And he was struck by grace. Oh, do you want to be perfect? Yes, I want. Okay, go, sell all that you have, give it to the poor. So he literally, he left the church. He went to sell everything, give it to the poor. Okay, I go. And he went to the cave and became a hermit. Immediately. So St. Peter Canisius says that the Blessed Virgin Mary received an inheritance, she received lands and money from her parents. With those things, she could have lived in a, you say in Spanish, holgada manner, de manera holgada. If you would say in English, I don't know how you say in English, in a, bueno, without needs, no?
Just
in a manner of enough commodities, enough luxury.
Luxury.
You will have enough abundance to live without worries, no? You said that. But Our Lady preferred to remain poor, using only what was necessary. And this is why he said that Our Lady, the inheritance that she received, she gave it to the poor in the temple. She had the priest to sell all things that she received for the poor. This is why many of the saints said that the Blessed Virgin Mary made a vow of poverty. Also that day of the when she made the vow of virginity, because what Our Lady revealed to St. Bridget, the following words: since my childhood, I made the vow in my heart not to possess nothing in the world. So Our Lady said. So, the presents received by the three Magi, which we know that would have been of great value, she distributed among the poor. Mm-hmm. Saint Bernard said that because Our Lady, when 40 days after Our Lord was born in the temple, when he presented the child Jesus, he didn't offer what was accustomed to give, which is a lamp, but so those who have money or means. But she offered the two doves, it's only for the poor. The poor will offer two doves, and the other people who are not poor, they will offer a lamb. What Saint Bernard says is why we deduce from this reality that Our Lady gave what he received from the Magi to the poor. Not even for the Egypt, they arrived to Egypt poor. And she said to St. Bridget also, everything that I could have possessed, I gave it to the poor, and only I kept for myself what was necessary to eat and to dress with poverty. So she married St. Joseph, who had the same dispositions. She was just working with her hands, Our Lady. As St. Bonaventure testifies, sewing mainly. And the angel also revealed to St. Bridget that the Blessed Virgin Mary always lived in a poor manner, and poor in a poor manner she went into heaven in the day of the Assumption. Now, a few words about chastity. It's a dogma of faith that she is virgin before, during, and after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. No? He's virgin of virgins. Saint Albert of the Great says, she's virgin of virgins because she was the first to become virgin without being done before, putting the example for the time to come, and because she offered that virginity herself by vow, as was prophesied by the prophet David, the prophet, in the Psalm 44. No? And Saint Bernard asked this question: Oh, Mother of God, who did teach you to please God with your virginity and to live on earth in an angelical manner? And he answered, it was Jesus Christ himself, because he elected you as to become his mother and the most pure virgin, in order to present to the whole world an example of chastity. Beautiful, huh? Just to contemplate Mary, many saints have said they become pure. Or temptations flee. Pure temptations flee immediately. Just to by contemplating Mary. It's one of the powers of God granted to in the side of Mary. For Joseph, it's not a good advice for all of us, no? In temptations against purity, just look at Mary. We will be free from those temptations. That is the reason why the Holy Ghost called her beautiful as a dove. Also was called by the Holy Ghost Lirio, what is it, Lirio in English? The flower of Saint Joseph?
Lily.
You are a lily among thorns. You are my beloved among the others, as a lily among thorns. Imagine. We are the thorns, she's the lily. And Saint Dionysius, the Cartusian, says that she's called Lily among thorns because all other virgins became thorns by them, in themselves, or for the others. But the Blessed Virgin Mary never was a thorn for no one, nor for herself. She always had the most pure thoughts, the most pure affections. St. Thomas says, the beauty of the Blessed Virgin Mary was inviting to anyone who was looking at her to practice chastity. So everybody who contemplates Mary wants to practice chastity immediately. And Saint Jerome holds as something very true that if Saint Joseph remained always also virgin, was due to the fact that he was companion to Mary. That company with Mary caused him to be a virgin always, in thoughts and words and everything. And also that the Blessed Virgin Mary was loved so much her virginity that she would have renounced to become the Mother of God in order to keep that virginity. If she would have to choose. And this is why she answered to the angel Gabriel, how is going to happen, because I don't know men, no? I don't know,
is it? I don't know men.
I don't know men. Because she was having a great treasure as a great inspiration from God to have virginity forever. This is why she asked that question to the angel Gabriel. Because she knew for sure that was the most important for her to keep always. So the next verse is obedience in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She fulfilled all her inspirations of the Holy Ghost completely, faithfully. Always faithful and obedient to Saint Joseph, even to the Emperor, to go to Bethlehem in a journey of 150 kilometers. And even she was expecting, no? The child Jesus. He accepted him, she embraced willingly the humiliations of in Bethlehem, poverty, the shortcomings in Egypt. She wants to be a cook, I think. Divine Providence. No, especially at Calvary, we see her obedience. So she doesn't, when in Nazareth, she just followed the orders of Saint Joseph without contradictions. She doesn't follow any other advices but Saint Joseph. Even in little things, she just followed what Saint Joseph and our Lord is saying. But she, the important here is she obeys like a slave, as a handmaid. It's the most beautiful, it's the spirit of obedience. I think it's the most important point. You know, you have to understand the concept of slaves in those times. A slave was a servant of the master in such a way that the not even the life of the slave was belong to them. So the laws of those times that the master, if he decided to kill the slave, he will kill it and will not be fault, will be no problem. He will say, "Yo, I am tired about you, you know, you died tonight. I don't need you anymore. And so tonight, I decided that you died tonight." That was the rules of the slaves. So that is the mindset of a slave in the eyes of our Lady, I would say, regarding God, no? Regarding God. So, So regarding obedience, so I have to obey because to do otherwise is to do my to not to follow God's light and God's way and God's will. As easy as that. This is why it's a divine way, obedience. It has to be done always. Of course, I was telling you, as an exception, of course, whatever it goes against, if something obedience goes against faith or morals, we are obliged to disobey. No? But besides those two instances, we have to obey always. Always obey. I think we are in a crisis of obedience because we see people doing whatever they want, liberty of today. We don't see the hierarchy doing their jobs, abusing authority. Therefore, we have a crisis of obedience. People think in the back of their mind that they can do whatever they want. Because everybody, even the hierarchy, does whatever they want. So we want to restore obedience in us, in our life. I was telling you one of the conferences. What to be, wish to be, to have someone to tell us what to do. Even if it's a child. It was St. John of God will do. Imagine that they come to St. John of God. Hey, John, you are a servant of God. You are so wise, so talented. Tell us what to do in this situation. Give us your advice. Imagine that St. John of God asking God for help and calling a child. Child of 6 years old. Child. So they asked me this question, but you know better than me. So I will ask you, what you will answer to these people who want to do this? Okay, great, good for you. I answered what the child just said. You know, something like that should be. You know. You will be humiliating yourself. And of course, if the child says something that is nonsense, you cannot support it. But that's the spirit. You want to obey someone. No, really, so people think, even outside the Novus Ordo, or even a traditional group, they calumniate us, saying that we do whatever we want. It's not true, eh? It's not true. So we want to follow tradition, we want to follow canon law, we want to follow the rule of Saint Benedict, we want to follow the most perfect things of the saints. It's calumny, it's appearances, just because we don't have a bishop, they said that we do whatever we want. It's not true, eh? It's not true. But they say that, eh? They say that about us. As if we were independent, doing whatever we want. No, it's not true. We really want to do what God wants us to do. Because we have many divine things in the signs, in the laws, in the rules and Benedict, in the Gospels that tell us what to do, what we're supposed to be doing in this moment. No? Really, so there are calumnies. There are real calumnies against us. Real calumnies. You know, they are independent priests. We are not independent. Of course not. We are dependent upon Christ, upon the Holy Rule of St. Benedict. Or else they have to give proofs that we are doing our will, no? So my major calumny, really. Okay, prove it that I am doing my will. Prove it. You don't know me. You don't have not seen, you know, have not lived with me. How you can say that I am doing with my will? I am independent? I am not independent. Of course not. You know, people, easy to speak. Easy to speak. You know? To slander. So, for example, many will say, you will lose your personality if you become a slave. No. So the saints, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, they want or just to follow Christ and to do Christ and to help Christ. We don't want to impose what we are or what we have to offer, our experiences, our wisdom. No, we don't want to do that with Christ. We just want to follow. Even if you are St. Thomas Aquinas, you will not reason God's orders. You will not reason. Only with you will use only your reason to see the sinfulness in what is asking, it's been asked for you, but you will not use your talents, your spirits to question or to think about what they are telling you to do. This is obedience. The right concept of obedience is lost. It's lost. So, you know, just almost finishing. You know, I rescued this convent of the Franciscans. So this convent was working with the SSPX, no? So what happened basically was that the SSPX was asking the nuns to obey them instead of obeying their rule and constitutions, to obey them more than the constitutions and the rule. No, you cannot. And the SSPX said, okay, you don't want to obey us. So basically they wanted to the superior to go away. They want to dissolve the convent and to take possession of the convent to make a seminary, basically. And to do that, they wanted to break the rules of the constitutions and the rules of the Franciscans. And the nuns said, common sense, they said, no, we cannot obey you, sorry. Okay, no sacraments, no priests, okay? No sacraments, no priests. They abandoned them. And in the Sunday after that event, the SSPX priest in the pulpit, they say, okay, we're going to announce you that those non-Franciscan nuns, they are not Franciscan, they have no vows anymore. They are a bunch of farmers on the mountain. Don't go to them. They are rebellious. They are not religious anymore. They are disobedient. They are independent. So they are a bunch of farmers. So don't go to them. We don't know what we're going to happen, but we hope that will come back to us. Because they will be without mass and without help. Exactly like that happened. It's why we arrived. So we had 1 year, full year of consolation, of visiting them and encouraging them. Yes, because they almost die of sorrow. It was deep sorrow. Because the priest arrived, he said mass, and he looked to the nuns back. You will see. He blow the blessed sacrament out. It's no more, no anymore like here. Goodbye. You're rebellious. Goodbye. So they were sorrowing. They were on bed, almost dying. You know? So something really bad happened. So I mentioned this because obedience. Why? We obey divine realities. No? So for a religious monastery, we follow the rule through the superior, no? So we make vows to obey the holy rule, and the superior is obliged to rule according to the rule. So we obey according to the rule. So the superior is not going against the rule. Cannot go against the rule, the holy rule. So when a priest comes, I am your chaplain, I will change this. You cannot change what is divine. So those rules come from the church. Constitutions come from the church. So it's something divine. You want to impose authority, even if you are a priest, against a divine reality. You cannot. It's to abuse power. So precisely, I was telling you this because the concept of obedience is disappearing. People doesn't have, even priests don't have the concept of obedience. So we obey God, remember. Therefore, we seek after divine realities to obey, which is tradition, the Tridentine Mass, the canon law, the constitutions of the Church, the teachings of the Pope, the doctors of the Church, the encyclicals of the Popes. It's what we are obeying now. So finally, well, there are other virtues that we could speak just by passing. For example, her religiosity. She will go to the temple to practice the cult of God according with all the details. You know, it's known that they will go. The most holy family will go to the temple to fulfill the rules of the priest. Her spirit of prayer. and recollection, her piety. We can contemplate those things. The love that she had for Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, her parents, for the country, love for the country, her gratitude. One of the most beautiful things of our real solitude. We tell her during the novena, "You are more grateful, lady, and you give thanks for us in our place. We are not able to do Thanksgiving as we should." No? The delicacy, the manners of our lady, when she visits Elizabeth, Saint Elizabeth, she magnanimity, so the greatness of soul, forgiving, giving mercy to anyone, those who crucify our Lord, offering herself as a martyr for us, her patience, longanimity, carrying heroically all the sufferings, privations, especially the humility. She considers herself the slave or the handmaid of the Lord. In the same very same moment in which he was proclaimed Mother of God. Imagine. So Jesus, Mary is precisely the mirror of justice, because she's the model, our model for all perfection, for all holiness, for all virtues. We just have to contemplate Mary and to reproduce in our soul all her sentiments, her virtues, yeah. As was told to Moses, no? Look and all do all things according to the model having shown to you. So we stop here.